Watching the time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, excuse me, on 96.5 KECO. Well, lost my voice there for a second for some reason. Let me take a swig of this whiskey real quick. All better. See how that works? Currently, it is 51 degrees. Dew point's 9. Humidity's 18. The winds are out of the north, northeast at 6 miles an hour. Wind gust up to a whopping 10 miles an hour. And I will have our Long Ranger forecast for you coming up shortly. Let's check out some area temperatures real quick. Let's see. The cool spot in our listening area is out at Wheeler, 49 degrees. Cheyenne's 49. Butler's 53. Hollis, 53. Mangum, 55. Altus, 53. Big Town of Hobart, 52. And 50 degrees at Weatherford. And that's some of our area temperatures. First things first, I need to clarify something from yesterday's show. Yesterday, I was reading a text message from a person. I don't know if it was he or she. I can't verify that on a text message by no means. But anyway, they were asking where to get 38% protein tubs in Elk City. And they stated they didn't like the ones that they were getting at Atwoods. Jimmy didn't say nothing about that, except I just read the text message. Atwoods is a great customer of ours. And also, I shop there a lot. So anyway, I did not say anything about Atwoods. I was reading the text message the gentleman did. He didn't like their protein tubs. And I feel the same way about some stuff when I get from other stores. If I don't like it, I don't use it. It's America. It's your God-given right to choose what kind of stuff that you buy and use for your cattle or for yourself. So anyway, just to clarify that, I did not say don't buy Atwoods tubs. So anyway, we'll get that out of the way. Futures are looking pretty good. The hard wheat futures surged in overnight trading amidst signs of strong global demand for grain. And Egypt's General Authority for Supply Commodities said this week it was sinking cargoes of 55,000 to 60,000 metric tons of soft or milling wheat for world supplies from world supplies. On its website, GASC said it bought 240,000 metric tons of wheat but did not provide details. Turkey's state is a grain board issued a tender for 385,000 metric tons of milling wheat. Rutgers reported citing European traders. Algeria will take possession of 700,000 to 800,000 metric tons of Russian wheat, the news agency said. Russia, the world's biggest exporter of grain, has imposed export taxes that could be raised, pushing up prices. The government may impose further export levies or restrictions that could push buyers over to the United States. Well, our cash prices today is wheat is at $7.92, corn is at $5.68 a bushel, Milo is at $5.71 a bushel, and soybeans over the $12 mark at $12.02 for a bushel of soybeans. Cotton is at $1.18 per pound. Prices are holding steady or going up a little bit, so everything's looking good there. The USDA said yesterday that exporters reported sales of 132,000 metric tons of soybeans to China for delivery in the 21-22 marketing year that started this last September 1st. That marks the fourth straight business days the USDA has announced sales of soybeans or corns to overseas buyers, which is really good for us. Wheat futures for December delivery jumped 12.5 cents to $8.45 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures rose 10.25 cents to $8.46¾ a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery gained 5¾ cents to $12.82¾ a bushel. Soy meal added $3 to $371.60 a short ton, while soy oil rose 0.2 cents to 59.36 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery were up 1¾ at $5.83¼ a bushel.
Are those the latest ones?
Weekly ethanol output rose in the week ending November 12th, while inventories declined, according to the Energy Information Administration. Production of the biofuel increased to an average of 1.06 million barrels last week. That's up from 1.039 a week earlier. Temperatures are expected to drop as low as 18 degrees in the southern plains. Freezing weather is on the way to the southern plains overnight, as temperatures may drop as low as 18 degrees Fahrenheit in parts of southwestern Kansas and the Oklahoma and Texas panhandles, according to the National Weather Service. That's really close to us. Temperatures in Boise City, Oklahoma, and Dalhart, Texas, are expected to fall to 18 degrees tonight. Freeze warnings are out. Freeze warnings are out for here again tonight. I read that on the Mezzanet a while ago. So we are in a freeze warning till tomorrow morning. I left go to Oklahoma City this morning at 4:30, and I seen 36, but my landlord told me it dropped down to 30 right across the river from me, so it got chilly after I left. Further south in Amarillo and surrounding areas, temperatures will remain in the mid-20s. The National Weather Service said in its report early this morning, this likely will be the first freeze of the season in some areas. About 81% of the U.S. winter wheat crop has emerged from the ground, including 86% in Kansas, 83% in Oklahoma, 71% in Texas, according to the data from the Ag Department. Further east in eastern Oklahoma and northern Arkansas, where soft red winter wheat is growing, temperatures are expected to drop to or below freezing in some areas heading into Friday morning, according to the National Weather Service. Low humidity and strong winds in the area may lead to that. Anyway, well, when I come back, we got a couple of things we're going to talk about. The new Penny News is out today. Get your copy. There's all kinds of stuff in there. Hang on a minute. I got to read you my tip of the week. There are all kinds of good stuff in this Penny News today. It feels pretty thick, so it must be a good one. My Jimmy tip of the week. Wear some horns while feeding cattle during rifle season starting this Saturday. You just never know. So anyway, that's my Jimmy safety tip of the week. Anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus. Red Angus cattle are just more docile as a breed, just bred into them. It's been that way for years, since the inception of the breed. My two kids, and not just the kids, the older generation, they don't want to mess with bulls that are not gentle. Red Angus are more gentle to handle. We raise registered Red Angus, Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's Penny News. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. and we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Yep. I'll be back. 52 degrees currently. The wind's coming down. They're coming out of the east, northeast now, 4 mile an hour, with a hurricane gust up to 8 mile an hour. So anyway, it's all good. Also, we got results from Hobart Stockyards yesterday, and I'm going to rattle off a few of the weights. We had some 400 to 499 pound average weight, 463, brought up to $1.90. These were steers, and here's some 600 to 699 weights. Average weight on them was 638, and they brought up to $1.57. 900 pound weight steers, 938 average weight, brought up to $1.25. Then down here in the heifer range, we got some 400 to 499 average weight, 450, brought up to $1.45. Heifer weights weighing 700 to 799, 774 average weight, brought up to $1.20. Had some cows at 1,000 pounds and over, average weight 1216, brought up to 90 cents. Looks like the average price on them was around 54 cents. Then we had cow pairs, anywhere from 1300 to 1460 on the pairs. Bull weights, 1,000 pounds and over, average weight on them was 1755, and they brought up to 8750 with average price bringing 76.750, and that was from the Hobart Stockyards. So anyway, good job out there, Rex. Tomorrow is the Elk City Livestock Auction. Monday is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. I can't wait. I think I'm gonna get my check from Clinton today. I'll let you guys know what they brought tomorrow. If it was good, if it was bad, then I won't say much. But anyway, that's called Brandon Hickey. Easy to get a hold of, great to work with. It was awesome. They did a great job over at Clinton for me. First time I'd been to Clinton. I usually go to Hollis, Hobart, or Elk City, and I have gone some to Woodward. And so far, everybody's done a great job. But I was just bragging on Clinton this week because that's where I took the calves this week. So that'll get that going good. Well, I got a couple of hot news items for you. American beef producers want the door shut for all fresh meat from Brazil. You guys might be hearing about this, and it's been in the news this week, but this is a really good article. American cattle producers who don't often agree on much are collectively calling for the immediate suspension of all imports of fresh beef from Brazil to the United States. They claim Brazil, one of the world's largest beef exporters, is putting American consumers at risk. The Denver-based National Cattlemen's Beef Association and Billings, Montana-based RCAF USA both want the Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, to immediately suspend all imports of fresh beef from Brazil to the United States. The USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service has last suspended the export of raw intact beef from Brazil in 2017. On February 21st, 2020, the suspension ended. That wasn't too long ago. So, almost a year and a half, 2 years ago. Brazil is subject to reinspection at U.S. ports of entry by the FSIS import inspectors, as required with meat, poultry, and processed egg products from other countries. In its November 12th letter to Vilsack, the NCBA asked for a new suspension until the USDA conducts a thorough risk assessment and review of the processes that Brazil's Ministry of Agriculture, Livestock, and Food Supply uses to detect disease and other threats to consumers. The NCBA also urged the USDA to review Brazil's veterinarian diagnostic laboratory system. It's time to keep fresh Brazilian beef out of this country until the USDA can confirm that Brazil meets the same consumer food safety standards that we all apply with our trade partners, according to the NCBA Vice President of Government Affairs, Ethan Lane. They have long expressed concerns about Brazil's history of failing to report BSE cases in timely manner, a pattern that stretches back as far as 2012. And according to reports published by the World Organization for Animal Health, you guys thought I was going to say that word, didn't you? Well, I didn't say it, so you sat back down. I know you got money bet on me when I was going to mess up with my next wording. Brazil took more than 8 weeks to report two confirmed cases of bovine spongiform, I can't even say that word. We're just going to go with BSE. The OIE requires countries to report with 24 hours any animal disease event that could be international concern for public health emergencies. RCAF USA followed the November 15th letter to Valsec, stating it agreed with the NCBA's call for the suspension of all imports of fresh beef from Brazil to the United States. And all I got to say about this report that I've kind of figured out, besides the safety of meat coming from Brazil, I'm so happy to hear that the National Cattlemen's Beef Association and the RCAF USA agree on something, and it's great because we need to work together on getting the best thing for our producers that we can. So anyway, RCAF USA's letter indicated it shares the concerns raised by the NCBA regarding Brazil's repeated failures to provide timely notice regarding outbreaks of BSE, or as we know it in the United States, remember Canada, mad cow disease. And however, unlike the NCBA request for a suspension, this only applies to fresh beef. RCAF USA's request is more expansive, seeking an immediate suspension of imports of all beef products, both fresh and pre-cooked, pending a U.S. investigation into Brazil's food safety system and its veterinary and diagnostic laboratory system. The ranch group says a more expansive suspension is needed because beef-related heat processes are not capable in inactivating the BSE. It's Brazil's non-compliance with BSE reporting requirements that prompt the suspension request. RCAF USA's letter states all imports of all beef potentially subject to BSE contamination must be suspended. Amen, RCAF. Anyway, that was one of the stories. And, man, I got a crazy guest just walked in on me in the studio. And you got a minute to talk?
You bet.
Hang on here. There we go. Now can we hear you?
You bet.
Oh, there he is. It's the famous Brent Metter.
Oh, famous here.
Yeah.
How are you, Jimmy?
I'm doing great. You?
I'm good.
He come in here. We're going to talk heifer show.
You bet.
That thing's come a long ways.
40 years.
I know, but it's just, I remember the first ones they had over there. I mean, there was, what, 10, 15 people? And then I left for 19 years, and I come back, and it's a full-blown national show.
It's getting bigger every year, so it's growing.
Well,
that's a good thing.
Yeah, 40 years. This is the 40th annual Oklahoma National Junior Heifer Show, and it's tomorrow and Saturday.
The actual show will start at 9 o'clock on Saturday. We'll have check-in starting at 6 tomorrow evening until 8.
Okay.
And 8 o'clock we'll break classes, get those posted there at the Civic Center, and then also on the Chamber of Commerce Facebook page.
Yep.
And then we'll start the show at 9 o'clock Saturday morning.
What's have you got a head count?
So it's kind of crazy. We typically, the last few years, we've been running in the, say, 40 to 60 range as far as pre-entries.
Right.
And then we've been having from 120 to, say, 150 actual show day.
Right.
Is actually show up and show. And so as of this morning, we're at 125 pre-entries.
Holy moly.
So we've blown it out of the water.
Holy cow.
Again, yeah. Yeah, we've blown it out of the water again. And so, you know, if history repeats itself, then we're looking at, you know, a show of 175, 180 heifers,
that's
which is
lot.
Awesome. You bet.
And it, Where do they all come from?
All over the state. We'll have some come out of the Texas Panhandle. Right. A few maybe from the south side of Kansas. But from everywhere. I mean, the best show heifers in the state of Oklahoma will be here on Saturday.
And, you know, there's Beckham County itself is pretty powerful heifer county.
We're pretty competitive out here.
A couple years ago, I went over to the Beckham County Spring Livestock Show.
Yes.
And walked through there, and I was talking to Kyle Walters.
Yes.
I was talking to him, and whoa, there's some that judge that showed up that year. I think it was 2 years ago. It might have been three, but that judge says this is like a junior OYE.
Yes, yes. A lot of times the best heifers come out of Western Oklahoma.
Yeah, because so. I mean we got some, you guys, Kyle, Elsie Price, K Bar.
Randy Lonigan supplies Lonigan, a lot of good show
I'm missing
heifers.
Somebody. So. Who's the one that had the OYE champion? Mollett.
Yep, John Mollett.
Yeah, John Mollett.
You pull for a lot from around the Clinton, Arapaho, up to Tologa area. There's a lot of good show people over that way. So
right. And all kinds of different. How many do you know? How many breeds are you been?
We'll typically so we give away a buckle for each breed winner, and we've been running somewhere around 14, 15 breeds, as many as 16. So somewhere right in there. You've got to have at least 5 head to make a breed.
Right.
You know. So if you end up if you got a breed that only has 3 head, you know, that show up, then we'll push those over into the commercial.
So if you really wanted a buckle really bad, you just brought 5 of your own.
We've had people do that. you've got to pay. Yeah, you've got to register 5 and show 2 so that you can get a buckle. But hey, it is what it is. As long as we collect enough money to pay for that buckle, that's our concern. So that's our biggest concern.
Well, I mean, I was looking at it from a point of view that, you know, I got some. Myself, I got some semi-Angus cross, and which them are 2 powerful classes, so I'm not really worried about you not having a minimum 5 in those. But
right.
Just thinking, man, I get a buckle, and then I could put that on my Facebook page and sell some heifers.
You bet. You bet.
And all it did is cost me a couple extra entry fees.
Yep, that's
but
right.
But there's nothing like that goes on in the show world, is there?
Oh, maybe a little bit every once in a while.
So I'm gonna check your memory out. What won it last year?
You're right. I made some notes and I didn't make that one. So I really don't remember. I think it was the maintainer, but I'm not completely for sure that's
somebody,
correct.
If somebody's listening and they remember, text it in to our KECO.
I'll text Greg Mouse here in a minute. He'll remember.
So. Yeah, he's listening. He's right across the road. He's always listening. But somebody remembers what won it last year, text it in to the KECO Ag Line, 225-9697. And I have Mr. Brett Metter in here, and he's the we want to call. He's the foreman for the Oklahoma National Junior Heifer Show.
You know, I kind of took this over with Greg Mouse. We kind of partner, tag team this thing. You know, this heifer show started with Kyle's mom, Charlotte Walters, years ago. She started this. This was a passion of hers, and I'd like to sit here and say that we're filling her shoes, but we're not even coming close.
It's hard. It'd be tough.
She worked at this thing really hard, and is what got this off the ground and brought people to Elk City, and so we've just taken it and tried to run with it since she hasn't been with us, and it's been good. I enjoy it. Greg has kids that grew up showing. My kids have grown up showing. And so it's just kind of a passion of the Mouse family and of the Metter family.
One of them's a vet in town now.
Through the chamber to keep this thing going. And it's fun. It's fun to see this many people come to Elk City. You know, probably the biggest compliment I get or that I hear at our heifer show is that this is a great place for a first show for a heifer and for a young kid.
Right.
And I think it's just because it's a relaxed show. We have a lot of area that we can spread out. And we just kind of take everything with a grain of salt. Maybe some common sense is used at our show. And so
common sense is very valuable right now.
That's right. That's right. And so I think people feel comfortable coming out. One of the things that has been added the last couple of years here is Clinton has added a show on Sunday following our Saturday show.
Yep.
And so that's helped. We've worked with Clinton, and Clinton's worked with us to advertise their show on our stuff, and they advertise our show on their advertising. And so
Mr.
it's kind of
Jeff Hunter will be in here tomorrow.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of like, hey, come to Western Oklahoma and spend the weekend showing. The other good thing that's helped us is the schools. It's at the very bottom there, Jimmy.
Well, no, I was reading for, I thought I seen somewhere, maybe it was on Facebook. It's like somebody was saying 2 for 1.
Yeah, that's right. That's yeah. right. And the other thing is the schools, you know, used to, we got out for Thanksgiving like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And a lot of these schools have gone to all week, out for Thanksgiving all week. And so that's made it nice for our show. Our show has always been the Saturday before Thanksgiving. And so, you know, those people, those families travel out here on Friday and stay the night and show on Saturday and then go to Clint's show on Sunday.
Go home Monday.
And they're
no hurry.
They don't have to, yeah, they don't have to race home and do homework. And so being out that whole week has been nice too. And it's just kind of the first show out. It, you know, going into the winter and going in, you know, kind of the race for OYE, you know, the run for March. So
run for this, we could actually call it, what do they call it, Triple Crown?
You bet. You bet.
Well, you got a minute?
You bet.
Take
yep.
a break. All right. I have Brent Meadows with me, and we're sitting here talking about the Oklahoma
National. I'm going to find out that winner.
Yeah. yeah. And he's going to find out the winner because nobody's texted in yet. And either that or I'm not doing the text line right. But anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, November 15th. 1,711 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 323 brought 232. 7 at 574 brought 162.50. 34 at 632 brought 165. 5 at 720 brought 140.50. 16 at 765 brought 158.60. 68 at 844 brought 155.85. 8 head of heifers at 391 brought 158. 57 at 499 brought 156. 10 at 541 brought 135. 4 at 614 brought 131.50. 7 at 700 brought 138. 5 at 1053 brought 120. Butcher cows were 15 to 70. Butcher bulls 30 to 84. Bred cows 450 to 1050. Pairs brought 975 to 1250. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back, and it is 51 degrees still. Winds northeast 4, gusting up to 7. I'll have the Long Ranger coming up here in just a little bit, but back to talking about heifer shows. I love heifers. I mean, I sold two at the sale barn. I sold a bunch, but there was two of them that I sold Monday that I really wanted to keep, but I don't have time to mess with it. And I hadn't been able to find any kids that want to show it, but they were Maine Angus crosses.
Yep.
Or not Maine Angus crosses. They were semi Angus crosses, and they was beautiful, and it was marked just right, and I got enough heifer.
I think all of us cattle guys get in that mode sometimes that we just can't keep them all.
I know,
but
you
really
can't.
Want to.
Yeah, well, I really, and I told my son one of them was his this morning when he called because I asked him if he'd got his check from the sale barn yet, and he said he hadn't. And I said, man, I didn't want to sell that white face of yours. Well, why did you, Dad? I said, because you're not here to calve it out. That's why.
That's right.
So heifers can be good and it can be bad.
That's right.
Well, you got one thing I like about the convention center here, you got camper spots, power hookups, because people have stock trailers now with sleeping quarters.
You bet.
In it.
Yep.
And it's a perfect place to have a stock show.
It brings a lot of people to Elk City. There's going to be lots of meals eating in town, lots of pickups filled up with fuel. And so it's a great thing. The chamber has always been really good to us to stay sponsoring this with us. And, you know, my name gets thrown around a lot with this show, but I don't do near as much work as what the Chamber of Commerce does for this show.
He was just laughing at you.
So I have to put a shout out to Susie Cup and Sharon Carpenter. I mean, they take all the entries. They filled probably 90% of the phone calls. And you know, I'm a heifer show person, so I can say this. But heifer show people are needy, and they do a good job fielding all those calls and making sure that people get called back. And
why
and,
are they more needy than steers?
I don't know, but they just are.
Because they're dealing with the female cows.
I didn't say that. You said that, Jimmy.
I got in trouble yesterday. I might as well keep it rolling.
But yes, it's a good thing, and our show's been one. You know, we're not doing this to make money. We're not trying to raise money necessarily for any cause. We're throwing all this money right back out at the kids. And so our grand prize is $500. So if you've got Supreme Heifer, you're going to win $500. But that also means you already won your breed. So you won another 50 when you won your breed. You got a buckle when you won your breed. It also means you won your class. Class winners can win anywhere from $15 to $50, depending on how many is in a class. And so you know, you might walk away with $600 or set close to $700 plus a buckle. And we're giving all this money back. Our sponsors, they've been great to us. And I, you know, we have a huge list, but the ones that have really made this show what it is LC Price, Price Farms, and Randy Lonigan.
Yep.
Those two guys, every single year in and year out, they are platinum sponsors and just whatever we need.
And they raise some pretty good cattle themselves.
They raise some good cattle, and it's all about the kids to those guys. I mean, you call either one of those guys and say, hey, we're doing something for the kids, and they're in. And we appreciate that.
Wow, we lit up. What is this? What is this? What is this? Huh? That text message, no. Oh, here we go. Come on, there we go. We got this. He was texting. In school, I learned there existed two species of cattle. Which continues. Huh. Anyway, this
is. You're not going to get your answer.
I'm not going to get my. That was rodeo stock.
I got you.
Benny Butler, bring any effort?
No. Thank goodness.
So
now we have had a kid drug across the arena a couple of different times, you know, so sometimes I wonder.
Well, I'm going to make it to the show Saturday, but I'm going to be a tad late because it's opening morning of deer season.
Oh, that's fine. We're going to start at 9, and that thing will go until noon, probably 1 or 2 o'clock with this many head. It's going to go into the early afternoon.
Yeah. Who's judging?
Joel Judge.
And where's he?
He's from the east side of the state. Yep. And he's a consultant on a lot of sales around the country and does a great job. So he judged it last year. Our philosophy has always been is we like to bring a judge back, especially if they do a good job and everything, and we're happy with them. We like them to come back the next year, do 2 years in a row.
Right.
And so that brings some consistency to our show.
So you know what to expect the next year.
It brings some consistency, and then also that helps us just, you know, finding judges is not the easiest thing in the world to do. That helps us in that sense.
Because
too.
There's a lot of good judges around here, but there could be a little bit of...
Right. Some of them have conflicts because they got grandkids showing or they got kids showing. And
so. Yeah, I think this guy was talking about Bodacious. I don't think you're going to have him in the ring tomorrow.
No, Elk City FFA will be there with the concession stand. Okay. They'll be cooking burgers and have breakfast and coffee on early. So I encourage everybody to come out if you've never been out to the Heifer Show. It's a great time. There'll be lots of people there. And
some beautiful cattle.
Yeah. I mean, even if you can stay 15 or 20 or 30 minutes, just come out and see what it brings to Western Oklahoma.
Oh, on these heifers, is there an age requirement? Are these all little ones or big ones?
Right. So they can, if they're showing them this year, as far as on the young side, anything basically qualifies. Right. So if they can be 4 or 5 or 6 months old, little ones, you know, all the way up until, they've got to be born, must be born after October 31st of 2019. I always have to look at my notes on that because that one changes every year. And so basically you can't have a 4-year-old cow in there or a 3-year-old heifer. So,
but it's open.
That's right.
It's open, but 4-H and FFA.
That's right. Only 4-H and FFA kids. So once you're out of FFA and in college, you can't come back and compete in the show. And And, you know, every year we struggle with this, but every year we always have someone that's got a kid that's already showing a little bit, you know, a younger kid because they grew up in a showing family and they're 6 years old and they're already showing a little bit and doing a good job. And so they want to be in this show. But it's been important to us to basically make this show, make it look like OYE.
Right.
And so when you get to OYE, that's kind of the rules. You've got to be in 4-HF, I think.
Because the Oklahoma Youth Expo is the biggest show in the world.
That's right. That's right. And we're trying to build this as kind of a practice show for the OYE show, and this is kind of the first rattle out of the box.
Well, I know you're going to have some great heifers out there tomorrow Saturday, and it's Saturday. I keep thinking today's Friday.
It is Saturday.
I got up really early to go to the city this morning to the doctors and hurry up because I can't miss my ag show because nobody in this building is capable of doing ag.
They're not going to do
Aaron's been training over here.
Right.
But
right.
He still hadn't volunteered.
Yep.
So what else?
This will probably be the biggest show since I've been a part of it. I can't, you know, I wish I had the numbers going backwards all the way back to when Charlotte started this. I don't have that. But as far as since I've been a part of it, this will for sure, with this many pre-entries, this will be the biggest ever show that we've had I've been around.
I can't wait to see it.
So okay. I think it'll be good.
Yeah, I'll come out and check it out because I love it looking at great heifers because they're probably not a bad one in the bunch.
No.
But only one can win.
And it's fun to watch the kids too. I mean, these kids take a lot of pride in their projects and just to see them have that responsibility of getting these heifers ready, it's fun to watch these kiddos.
Because doing even steers, heifers and steers, it's no easy job.
It's not. It's not.
You know, you're lucky you have ones with great attitude, but you always got that one and just you might find out Saturday where that one is.
That's right.
You got the winner yet?
I don't know. I've got a text message here, but I don't know if they've if anybody's told me for sure.
If somebody texts it in, let me know.
Yep.
Text
I should have brought that with me. I knew there'd be one thing I wouldn't know.
Sorry. Wait a minute. Anyways, that was from Lori Campbell.
Yep.
Different story.
I don't have it.
Well, thanks a lot, and good luck for tomorrow night and Saturday.
You bet.
Thank
It'll be
you
good
so
time.
Much for on short notice coming in.
Worst part of the whole deal is I'm going to miss the Elk City football game because I'm already committed to be here at this heifer show. So,
well, guess what? You can download
gonna,
the Paragon
don't worry.
App.
Don't worry, Aaron. I'm going to have my iPad out there and have it on. So,
And then he's going to do something silly by asking somebody to text something in. And his phone blows up.
You bet.
I think, Jared, did you call him a name when he did that last time? When he asked him to text something in on the Elk City football game?
No.
No, he's not involved.
I love all our listeners.
So, anyway, but I don't know why I'd missed this. And yesterday Julie was in here from the Chamber of Commerce.
Yes, yeah.
And
What's up Wednesday?
Yeah, what's up Wednesday? And I was listening. I thought, what? Heifer show? I got to get hold of Brent.
It's here. Yep. First Saturday before Thanksgiving every year.
All right, cool. Well, thanks a lot
Looking
for coming
forward
in.
To it.
All right. Thank you a lot. You've been listening to Brent Matters, and he's been talking about the Oklahoma National Junior Heifer Show that'll be happening Saturday morning at 9 a.m. at the Elk City Convention Center. Sounds like there's going to be a big herd of heifers out there. What'd you say, 125
pre-entered.
And that's the most they've ever, because what was the most before that?
Probably 60.
60, so it's double what it's going to be, and plus there have people to show up.
You bet.
And so, anyway, don't miss it. It's a great time. Go out there and look at some beautiful breeds, and heifers just, they look different in the ring than steers do. They just, you know, you're dealing with a future mama cow.
That's right. And future kids that are going to grow up in agriculture.
Yep. So anyway, so you're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Are there any beef eaters out there? Well, sink your teeth into this. The Elk City Rotary Club's giving you a chance to win a side of beef and a freezer to keep it in with the Beef Sweepstakes. Get one ticket for $25 or five tickets for just $100. Go by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City to get your tickets. Grand prize is a side of beef and a freezer. Second and third prizes are a quarter beef each. Winners chosen December 11th at 8 p.m. at Elk City's Christmas in the Park in Ackley Park. Beef up your Christmas and help some great local projects with the Elk City Rotary Club's Beef Sweepstakes.
Beef, it's what's for dinner.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Man, the show's going by fast. Let me kill these buttons here. And gentleman texts in, and he's out on road 1910 and 1080 just west and north of Elk City, and there's two calves out there laying there beside the road. If anybody's got any cattle out there with some calves in that area of 1910 and 1080 just west and north of Elk City, you might go check your herd out and see if you're missing a couple babies. He said they're laying right there in the bar ditch. So anyway, thank you for texting that in. We really like that. Uh-oh, we got it.
I was right. Maintainer.
Maintainer?
And reserve was the champion, was the polled heifer.
Okay, so last year the champion, grand champion heifer was a maintainer, and the reserve champion was a polled heifer. There you go. That's what happened. I knew he'd come through with me. Nobody on the text line did. You guys are awful quiet today after rattling me up yesterday. Let's do the weather first. Then I can talk. Anyway, let's go here. All right. 52 degrees presently. The wind basically zilts down to 5 miles an hour. Dew point is 9. Humidity 17. So it's dry out there. So there ought to be some cotton stripping going on. I think peanut harvest is pretty well done around here. I don't know of anybody left yet to thrash some peanuts. So anyway, cotton ought to be going on pretty good and strong. Man, there's a lot of cotton going up and down the road. Everybody's doing good. Well, at $1.21 a pound, I'd be getting it done too and getting it delivered. So high today, 55 degrees. Tonight, 31. Freeze warning is in effect for tonight for western Oklahoma. Tomorrow, winds pick back up out of the south. It's going to be breezy, 62 degrees. Tomorrow, or Saturday, 74. Looks like a beautiful day for the heifer show. Go out there and check it out and tell them that Jimmy and Brent sent you. And Sunday, 60 with winds out of the north at 20 to 30 miles an hour. And Monday, 60 degrees. Doesn't look like a bad weekend for opening weekend of the Orange Army, as Lacey and Lieutenant James announced. Not a bad weekend at all. So anyway, we got that going on. All right. What we got here? Oh, now we're going to have the Lost Cattle, Out Cattle hotline on here today. South of Mountain View, there's two bulls out on Sedan Road just south of Mountain View. If you're listening down there and you have some bulls that you're missing, or you think you might have some bulls missing, there's two out on Sedan Road, and that's south of Mountain View. I remember seeing that road one day. So anyway, thank you for texting that in. All right, here we go. I'm trying to figure out the one that I want to read. Hang on with me. I got that. Got that. Okay, here we go. As a result of the current pandemic, terms such as herd immunity, infection rates, and contact tracing are now part of daily conversations. Similar terms and principles would apply if an incursion of foreign animal disease, as we was talking about from Brazil a while ago, it would be such as foot and mouth disease occur in the United States. In such situations, animal disease traceability is critical to emergency response efforts. The Animal Disease Traceability, ADT, sounds like the alarm company that puts the alarms on in your house, is defined by the United States Department of Agriculture as knowing where disease at-risk animals are, where they've been, and when. ADT does not prevent disease introduction, but does allow expedited emergency response. Accurate and timely response is critical for both producers and the industry. ADT allows official individual identification of animals and rapid tracing during an outbreak. One ATT system is that allows identification, individual identification in the National Uniform Ear Tagging System, the NUFS. The system has been used for years and is very familiar for many producers. The common names for these tags are Bang Tags or Silver Bright Tags. These tags are used for cattle requiring brucellosis vaccination and another system of official identification involves the use of radio frequency electronic tags, beginning the tag number with the digits 840. Radio frequency identification, which is called the RFID, tags are available as low frequency, and they've got, ultra high frequency in certain circumstances and other forms of identification, such as registered tattoos and brands, and may be used as other identification. Currently, official identification is required only under certain conditions and for certain classes of cattle. The two primary situations requiring official identification are program disease testing, such as that is required for brucellosis and interstate movement. And I know I ain't pronouncing that word, but I bet I'm close because I Googled how to pronounce it before the show and I forgot. Anyway, the cattle classes requiring identifications when moving interstate are listed below. Exceptions to this requirement do apply under unique moments such as travel for veterinary care, feeder cattle, and animals moving directly to slaughter do not require official identification for interstate movement. The classes of cattle requiring USDA official identification for interstate movement include beef cattle and bison, sexually intact and 18 months or older, used for rodeo or recreational events regardless of age, used for show or exhibits. Dairy cattle, all female dairy cattle, and then all male dairy cattle born after March 11th, 2013. So there you have it on that. And then we got some more coming up here. Check this out. Bear with me here. Here we go. Here's the one I wanted to hit. Well, come back here. All right. The new beef processing plant will be going in Warren County, Missouri. I think that's where the famous Sean Wilson is from. I'm not sure. Warrensburg, somewhere in there. I don't know if that's the same county. But anyway, beef producers may have another option to sell their fat cattle and cull cows as Americans Food Group selected Warren County, Missouri as their location for its newest value-added processing facility. While Jim Rathett, Americans Foods Group Executive Vice President, says the company is impressed with the potential opportunity to be part of this community, he adds the process will take time. The company will make a final decision on the project by spring of 2022 with the intent of being fully operation at the new location by the end of 2024. America's Food Group is a private, family-owned meat packing and processing company. Has five other beef processing plants across the upper Midwest. But this eastern Missouri location, about 45 miles from St. Louis, will be the further south the company has ventured. The plant will not only look for Missouri cattle producers to supply the harvest at the facility, but also will be looking at surrounding states to the east and the south to need to fill the needed harvest capacity of 2,400 head per day is what they're going to be going. He says they are so excited to welcome America's food groups to Missouri, says Chris Kahn, the Missouri Department of Agriculture director. The project offers an important additional market for our producers and adds value to Missouri farm and ranches. All sectors of the agriculture will benefit from this. All right, we got one more. Deer strike, it's over. A majority of the deer and company striking workers on Wednesday voted to approve a modified contract proposed by the farm equipment maker in nearly a six-week strike. The United Auto Workers members of the deer ratified a six-year agreement by a vote of 61% to 39%. The union said, Deere said it has been informed that the workers will resume operations on last night, Wednesday morning. They did that. The settlement is in relief to the agriculture industry that is already grappling parts of the part shortages and a tight labor market amidst the U.S. corn and soybean harvest. Deere said last week it made modest modifications to its second proposal that was rejected by 55% of the UAW workers earlier this month, and the company and the union did not elaborate on what those modifications was. Workers at facilities in Illinois, Iowa, and Kansas have been on strike since the middle of October, and after having turned down Deere's attempts to tie them down with a new deal, prompting the company to say all options are on the table. The workers demanded better pay from Deere, which forecast a record net income of $5.7 billion to $5.9 billion this year to claw back concessions it made on some of its benefits in the past. Deere has so far refused to comment on the impact of the strike on production. So anyway, there's your Deere. They're back to work, and thank you very much, because we need to all get along right now. There's a lot going on. I got a deal coming up here. Bear with me here. Where is that article? I lost it. I lost my article. I'm usually pretty good about this. Hang on. Oh, by the way, tonight, Thursday, November 18th, that's today. Oh, by the way, it's Aaron Kautz's birthday today, everybody out there in the KECO listening world. And everybody wish Aaron Kautz a happy birthday. Monty Tucker will be the auctioneer, and the labor auction for the Sweetwater FFA invites you to attend the annual labor auction and calf fries. These calf fries were grown locally, or not made. They might not have been grown locally, but they was harvested locally. How's that? Ham and various sides and dessert. And I know if Monty Tucker's mom has anything to do with the cooking going on out there, it's pretty good. So there's that going on. They will have 40 students and some shop projects to auction off as well, and we'll just go from there. It'll be in the Sweetwater School multi-purpose room. Tomorrow, I will have Jeff Tucker on here from the Western Oklahoma Heifer Show that'll be happening in Custer County. And we'll be doing that. And here we go. I still haven't found that. Bear with me. You guys hadn't had to do this too many times with me, but I wanted to find that article, and I've lost it. Anyway, had one more to back it up. No ways as it is. And let me see here. Yep, got that done. Bayer is forming a strategic partnership with Microsoft to build a new cloud-based set of digital tools and data science solutions for use in agriculture and adjacent industries, says Bayer officials. I seen this on Facebook this morning. There's a bunch of people not happy this has happened. I guess when two big companies merge together or make a deal, everybody thinks they're after them. But it's not always true. This could be good. They add this partnership will create and enable a new business-to-business B2B offering to create off-the-shelf digital capabilities available to startups to innovate in agriculture and adjacent industries. Bayer officials said its agriculture expertise and digital farming platform combined with Microsoft's cloud technology and B2B solutions will accelerate Bayer's and Microsoft's ability to innovate within ag and across the entire food, fuel, fiber, and feed value chain. Create and commercialize off-the-shelf opportunities for other companies to enter and innovate directly in ag and other industries. Support farmers and other food industry customers with new innovations and continuous improvements to important digital and data service features used to manage their operations. That was a perfect article. We got a hotline text to see what it is. Boy Scouts will be serving chili Saturday night from 6 to 8 at the Cheyenne Methodist Church in Cheyenne, Oklahoma. Go support them Boy Scouts. We have a lot of Boy Scouts in FFA and 4-H. You guys have a great day. God bless. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
You've got it locked on Western.